Our councillor Lisa Thompson is here in the studio already, so we're just going to say hello. Morning, Lisa.
Morena, kia ora. What a beautiful morning, hey?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. You must be like almost interviewed out from all your busyness over the week, yeah. interviewing candidates.
I had three on Monday right off the bat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And we've got Sarah Johnson to do some of our transcribing for us so we can transcribe all the interviews.
What a great person to be on that job, Sarah.
Yeah. No, she's been really great. And Mikey is doing lots of it, but she's also got a chronicle to put out and things like that.
Yeah, and she's got other jobs as well.
Yeah.
So I know that she helps with Ragnar Naturally and a whole lot of things.
She's very essential to a lot of organisations, Mikey. Yeah.
She's one of the powerhouses behind the throne.
She's probably listening right now, actually. Hi, Marky.
Hi, Marky. You do a fantastic job and we love you.
That's why I wanted to say we are trying to interview everyone who's running and put out the transcripts so that everything's available for people to get to know the candidates.
It's really great because I actually shared with one of our community members. I'd just gone out for breakfast with my partner and my daughter at the shack, and one of the community members came up and said to me, oh, how do I get the information about the candidates? So I could take her through to the district council website where you can see the candidate profiles.
Yep.
But also I said, look, I'll show you Raglan Radio where you can actually listen to people standing, but you can also read the transcript of the corridor if you didn't feel like listening to it.
Yeah.
So she was really appreciative of that. So the work that you guys are doing is really important because sometimes you don't get to listen to the radio.
And yeah, exactly.
When you have a quiet moment and you can read or listen again. So
yeah,
good
with the podcast,
work, Aaron.
Yeah.
It's really great to have that available.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to do, but it's also a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but participating and contributing to good decision making, you know, and that democracy. So I think that's really important, and it's transparent.
And it's like I tell our funders that we're holding our politicians to account, but that's a phrase they understand. But it's not like that. It's because there's not the level of deception and lack of transparency you get at the national level, at government level.
Or the perception of it, eh?
Yeah,
because people in politics or people, you know, for local government, and certainly, you know, my experience in the last 6 years in my role as councillor, and then obviously a year and a half before that I was on the community board, you know, there are good people in local government, both the elected and staff. So we've recognised that we are all a community, you know, and that sort of ideology around politics and politicians, we need to change that. And I guess that's why it's exciting to look forward to the government review on local government. And some of the corridor that's already come out of there is, you know, there needs to be more meaningful engagement with hapu and iwi. That we need to have a Te Ao Māori lens around the work that we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the four wellbeings being brought back into local government, what does that look like? So I think there hopefully will be some really, would it be transformational, but change moving into the future for local government. Because believe it or not, I really believe in local democracy and in local government providing services and supporting our communities. And I think, you know, value-based and strength-based decision-making is really important, but also being able to bring our communities along with us because we all make up our community, you know.
I think it works much better at the smaller level where people know you in the street and we're not trying to sell newspapers or ad spots so we can indulge. It shouldn't be an indulgence to have long conversations with political people and all that, but it's the feedback is much more immediate, I think, for you guys, and it's that feedback that makes democracy work properly.
Yeah.
If you look at, I read this book once about the history. It's a slightly sarcastic, funny history book about the history of the UK for 2,000 years, and the hereditary kings were a bunch of nanas. They really were. But the big thing they lacked was there was just no feedback about their decisions. So it was dependent on them.
I remember reading somewhere about one of the kings and he didn't wash most of his life and then his skin was falling off. I could have just made that up, but I'm sure I did read it. It's a true story.
We'll definitely believe it. After the book I read, I could believe it. Hey, let's get on to the candidate interview section that we're going to do with you. Why are you running again? That's the obvious question to start with, I think.
Because I love our community. It's as simple as that. And I really feel that after 7.5 years working in local government in the capacity of the community board and then as councillor, I do have skills and knowledge, and I bring that to the continuity of the next triennium, particularly because we are facing changes and, you know, down to the fact that there will be over 50% turnover of councillors.
I was going to ask that question. Okay,
yeah, there will be at least a 50% turnover, including having a new mayor. Mm. We've got our Māori wards, and we've got a lot of participation from our community boards across the district as well. So I think it's an exciting time in local government, and I believe that we do need that leadership and the continuity moving forward into the next triennium and around the space of the changes that are coming and are continuing to come from central government about, you know, three waters, the RMA reforms, all of those things.
We've got the whole local government review coming out a month after the election.
Yeah, in October. So I'm looking, you can actually read what they've, some of the work that they're already looking at. I'll share that with you, but... So I'm excited about that. So I really want to be part of some of that change. And so that's why I'm standing again. And like I said, I love this community. I'm invested in it. I grew up here. All my family have on my dad's side and my mother's side. And I really value being of service to the community. And I think there's so many opportunities to leverage, you know, our community response to COVID-19 over the last 2.5 years, you know, and then successfully brokering a relationship with the Ministry of Social Development for our community connector role, and looking forward to developing that role in the community around health and wellbeing.
So talk about that. Like, that's something that's come out of COVID-19, and I guess it speaks to being able to make decisions locally rather than have the Ministry of Health making the unilateral decisions that they make as a ministry, or the DHB the same.
You know, I think that our community really shines in terms of taking action from a Flaxroots community level, and we've proven that so time and time again, whether it's from Extreme Zero Waste or if it's WEC or other organisations within our community that just see, right, something's happening here. The potential, or the potential of something happening, how can we respond to it? And, you know, because we are able to do that and we can collaborate and we can prove that we can work across organisations with different individuals to create something that's uniquely for our community is pretty neat as a blueprint moving forward. And so I see what we've done with COVID-19 as that opportunity to prove that communities actually know what we need. And if we are empowered with resources to act and act at pace, we can come up with some really great solutions. And one only needs to look at the Whaingaroa Marae Collective as well, with Mike and his team working across communities to provide support for those who are isolating. But, you know, with our connector role, it's so much more than COVID-19 just gave us an opportunity. But what does good health look like for our community, for our young people, for our elderly? So I'm excited about that. So, you know, there's those opportunities. And being the councillor, having built relationships over the last two terms with both staff and other organisations, there's a level of trust. And, you know, an example of that is when we went into our first lockdown and we were able to utilise our civil defence staff to deliver resources out to our students, you know, their education packs and things like that. And also, you know, just with our connector role as well, where people have called in for support, whether it's through the food bank or our 0800 Raglan number, being able to then contact staff and say, is anyone out at this area? Could we please get some water out to them?
So that community connector, which I think you've probably described now reasonably well, does every community have one of those?
No.
So this was... So how did it come about? Because you ended up kind of being the face and kind of the centre of the decision-making during the COVID crisis that we had here. Was it your relationship with people at the DHB that was the connection to that happening? Actually, like, how did that happen?
It was actually a whole lot of relationships, to be honest. It was the response team, you know, made up of the Community House, the Mirai Collective, Raglan Medical, Raglan Area School, Council, myself, Raglan Community Board, Raglan Naturally. So, you know, it was a coordinated effort. And yet I was probably the face of that. And then, of course, there were the further-reaching relationships that we developed whilst we, you know, last October, particularly with Ngā Mero Health, with Glenda Raumati and her team.
So the organisation from over the Divi?
From Ngārua Wāhia, when they came in to do the vaccinations and the testing. So we built that relationship that extended out and were able to prove that we could mobilise volunteers to help with the PCR testing, to help with traffic or whatever it might be. We did that really quickly. Whilst we were setting up, obviously I was working with the DHB. So it was just building trust and those relationships. So we were able to prove when they were looking forward from that point for summer, where they had identified that there would be surges of, you know, COVID or the possibility of it, what would building capacity in communities look like? So we really pushed ourselves forward in that space to say, well, actually, we can give you examples of how we've responded and we want to be part of this. Mm. And an opportunity came up really through a discussion with Marion from the food bank, and because she's so passionate, and she just spoke to a contact in MSD. And then Glenda Raumati said to me, look, MSD have got connector opportunities for communities. You should actually go for it. So she gave me a phone number of one of the regional coordinators. So I called her and had a chat and sent her the work that Michelle Levy had really developed for us around what our role would be and what services we could provide. And I sent that through to this person, and out of that, within a week, we'd had the, MSD, we want you guys to be a connector role. So that's a point.
It's interesting times, isn't it? Because something like that was never going to happen otherwise.
It was never going to happen.
It was never on the table.
And it was awesome that an organisation like that were able to act quickly to support a community like ours. And you know,
so that's still there, the community connector.
Absolutely, we've just
that's what our ad is on the radio, isn't it?
Like, and also that will be changing because obviously the COVID-19 isn't the priority in terms of what we're seeing is mental health, well-being, all of those sorts of things.
Yeah,
you know, and even when I spoke with our MSD manager just recently, it was quite a great time that he called because I was sitting in the office with Louisa Barham, the principal of Raglan Area School, and we were talking about how well-being of our students and our teachers, what does that look like given people are really stressed, teachers
people
are
at the moment, is that what you guys are noticing? Like, I've been talking about this lately, people have got shorter fuses or things are going wrong for them more than normal.
Yeah.
Like everywhere, and I'm like,
people are
like
quite,
the community needs
stressed.
a big hug.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think
it's a strange thing for me to say.
No, but we do, and we need to be kind to each other, you know. And I go back to, I've said this before on the radio, Malibu Hamilton saying to me, he goes, go hard on the issues and soft on the relationships. And, you know, I keep that, you know, as one of my reminders of it's issue-based or, you know, it's not about the person. So be kind to each other. I know that people got sick of be kind, but we do really need to be respectful and slower with our kōrero. And that I mean not so heated and say things off the cuff when you're feeling stressed or angry. So when I was with Louisa, I put Rob on the speakerphone and we talked about it. I said, you know,
Rob,
what we're from MSD.
Yep.
And I said, look, I'm just putting you on speakerphone. I'm with Fire Louisa, the principal at Raglan Area School. And we're just talking about well-being for our teachers and our students. And as a result of what's been happening over the last 2.5 years, because we're seeing kids who are really feeling anxious or even angry. So, you know, could the connector role be providing well-being packs to our students, whether it was pajamas or whatever it could be. And he said, Lisa, you know your community and we need to know about, these are the things that we as an organisation need to know about, what are the stresses that communities are seeing and identifying. So the connector role is moving into a different space. I had a hui with our team, Selena, Fiona, Michelle and I, on Wednesday after our community board meeting to reflect on the work that the team has done, particularly Selena, who's been manning or womaning our 0800 number, and also Fiona, who has been doing our rapid antigen test distributions Monday, Wednesday and Fridays, and where we see the role going, because we've actually recruited and we now have a new person for the connector role, and that's Lara Sweetman, which is fantastic. So she's a long-term, well, she's born here, the Rupuki, her family are from here.
The Rupuki Mafia.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there such a thing? I just made that up, but it might be a thing.
Yeah, it could be a thing. Yeah. Well, it is now because we just said it.
Because we said it, yeah.
And so really excited about working alongside Lara because she really knows our community. 28 years as a teacher, really skilled, creative.
So that something that's really interesting for me coming out of that is the people at MSD saying, you guys know your community, we're going to give you the money to for this.
We're going to resource you.
I'm not just throwing money at you, but I'm sure it has comes with strings attached. But yeah, give the community resources to do that. Because I want to tie that into a question about in council, talking with Mayoral candidate and Deputy Mayor Axel Beck earlier this week. He is suggesting that if he became mayor through his power of delegations, he could delegate more authority to the community boards. And for people who don't know, our community board is only an advisory body. It can't make decisions except about the discretionary fund, the money it holds. So, I mean, you've been council over 6 years on the community board before that. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. You know, that's something that, you know, Bob McLeod was a passionate advocate about. You know, and I remember that guy from Thames that Bob had organised through the residents and ratepayers.
Was it the CEO came over?
Yeah,
to
talk about what would that look like. And
Because they did that over there.
They did that, and I actually haven't followed up to see how successful that was. And I, you know, and it needs to be created by the community boards, for the community boards, because each community board is different and their capacity is different. So it needs to be resourced. It needs to be supported.
By which you mean staff, paid staff supporting the board.
Paid staff supporting the board, but also that actually whoever's in charge, for example, if I look at the work that Dennis Amor and Gabriel Parson have done over the last term, managing the Wharf project, Gabriel just managing the community board and doing all the admin behind that, they need to be resourced and paid accordingly. And because you do have to look at the capacity that each person has and their ability to make a contribution to the work of the board, because you have to be proactive. You actually do have to roll up your sleeves. If you want things to be done, you actually need to be one of those people who think about how are we going to get it done, you know, and you've got to put your time and energy into that work, and that needs to be supported, yes, by staff, paid staff and things like that, but the board needs to be have its own ability to support itself through resourcing.
Do you feel that the majority of councillors are of the same mind about
this? I do, actually.
Okay, interesting.
So it would be, but again, it comes down to each community board, because what we're, you know, you would have seen in the agenda on Wednesday, the recommendations that we've made to our charter.
Yeah.
each board is different.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So that has to be considered because, you know, and I think in the next triennium, workshopping, working with the community boards, having a really good induction, so we all understand the roles that we have to play in local government and what that looks like and the expectations and what is required.
Okay. Can I move us on to to ask some more election-y questions?
Yeah, sure.
Like achievements that you feel you've got over the last 6 years. And we've already talked about the work around COVID? Yeah, so some more conventional councilly things.
Well, you know, first and foremost, the work that we've done as a community board and councillor, you know, we've progressed the revitalisation and the implementation of Raglan Naturally. We've worked as a really good, cohesive team. You know, the successes of, you know, finally the Wharf project's underway. You know, the innovating streets, the tourism infrastructure fund that we got twice, actually, you know, in our first term and then in our second term with the town to surf, you know, just under $1 million worth of funding for that. You know, seeing the development of the Papakāinga next to Poihakana Marae. Mm. There's so many things. So you were
involved in that?
Well, just supporting it, actually. Okay. But seeing those things that council have enabled as well. And, you know, in my first term as councillor, you know, doing one of the first workshops or presentations in the council chambers as a councillor about the implementation or the support and principle of establishing Māori wards without going to a poll.
Yeah.
That was apparently one of the first presentations done in the chambers by councillors. And, you know, I stood there with Janet Gibb, who's one of the councillors for Ngāri Wa Wāhia, and Donna Flavel from Waikato Tainui, and presenting, you know, that to my fellow councillors to, you know, then a decision being made and only two of us supporting, in principle, establishing Māori wards in my first term.
Yeah.
To this term, we got it over the line where we now have Māori wards established.
It's just one of those things you keep plugging away and so time moves on. Yeah.
You know, and then the decision in council, the unanimous decision to, you know, facilitate and support the return of Papahua 1 to its rightful owners.
That's the airfield for people who...
That's a momentous achievement from going to only two people supporting in principle the establishment of Māori wards to a unanimous decision in council 5 years later. That's, you know, tremendous for me.
Yeah, times have changed. They really have.
They really have, and the appetite to work with hapū and iwi and... in genuinely, authentically, is major, you know, when we look at the context of local government at Waikato District Council.
Because I should say for people, I think a lot of people have missed it, but for the land, like the airfield, where there are existing, where there's claims and everyone kind of acknowledges that the right thing will eventually be done and will be returned to the rightful owners, council is already working with Mana Whenua in the running of the management of that land. It's not solely council making decisions about it.
No, because, and also the complexities of that land, because you've got the different land blocks. But, you know, council's already been in a co-governance relationship for almost 100 years with Ngāti Mahanga Hauraua, when in 1923 the tribe went into a relationship with the then Raglan Town Board with the tuku whenua that took place at that time. So on,
I don't imagine the co-governance has been as effective as it currently is. Over some of that time, well, let's be honest.
We've just been
talking about how times have changed. So
times have changed, and I just think, you know, that's so exciting. And I think that, you know, as an organisation, council, that is, that those are things that I'm really proud of.
Mm,
you know,
okay.
In my time in council, and then the smaller things like the shed cycleway footpath at Papahua, and then the extension of that, and then, you know, the footpath between Greenslade Road and Lorenzen Bay and the community planting there.
Yeah.
Those are the quiet things that have just happened and have gone on with. And, you know, I'm really proud to say that I've built relationships with our staff and our community as well. And I'm proud of that.
Mm. Okay, I've got another question I'm asking everyone, which is just about vision for the community. We're a unique community. Well, we certainly think so. Everyone here does. But and so to kind of encapsulate that uniqueness and a vision for the future, how we retain it, can you kind of talk about that?
It's a big question.
I know.
It's a big question.
But it's behind everything that we do,
it
really.
It is. And I think it's that authentic connections that we have with each other, and it's trying to understand what does connection mean for each of us in this place. It's having good relationships with hapū and iwi, an understanding of this place, its history, its now and its future. And working together collaboratively is really important moving forward, and using the different vehicles that we have from our relationship with Raglan naturally, with our connector role. It's celebrating our diversity. It's embracing our young people. It's taking care of our elderly. It's being more coordinated in the services that we provide, and access to the simple things like good medical care, connecting people and organisations together to create spaces where we can engage safely. That's really important, because we all have a different vision of what a community looks like. But I really believe that to be kind to each other, to be empathetic and care for each other, and care for our environment, and follow those, manaakitanga, kaitiakitanga, whanaungatanga, particularly to build those relationships, really important moving forward.
Okay, and do you have your speech for when someone says, why should they vote for you? No one I've talked to really likes answering that question, but why should people vote for you?
Because I work hard, I bring integrity, I bring a good work ethic, I'm inclusive, and I actually walk the talk, to be honest. You know, I'm the type of person who will roll up their sleeves and to get stuff done. And I'm involved in our community in lots of different ways, from different boards, from different organisations. And I don't make a song and dance about it, but I'm invested, and I'm invested because of my whakapapa. And I'm invested because I've got, I've got my young people, my kids and their friends, and looking into a future that's full of abundance for them, you know, that they have a place in Whaingaroa that they can return to, that's thriving, you know, that we have good outcomes for the environment, all of that, you know. So I go back to the fact that I love this community, and I want to continue to be of service. And so I'd like to think that the work that I've done demonstrates that I care.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. You weren't too afraid of that one like some of the other people have been, so that's good. Folks, we've been talking to our councillor, Lisa Thompson, who's running again for council, and good luck for the campaign.
As Kia ora, thank you, and keep up the excellent work, Aaron. This is a great opportunity for all of our candidates.
Right, and the next one's here. Michelle's sitting down below, ready to talk.
Go, Michelle.
So she'll be up in the hot seats shortly. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.